one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I suppose it happens to every priest, and it's happened to me a couple times, where I meet a person who sees my collar, asks me if I'm a priest, and then begins to spray Bible verses in all directions like a garden hose, usually ending up with, "I read my Bible, and the Bible says, no, call no man father upon earth." Well, encounters like this, which have sometimes occurred in liquor stores, are not the place to bring the people to a deeper understanding and context of that verse. All the teaching in the world is to no avail if a person refuses to learn. So anyway, the collect, or the opening prayer of today's Mass, has much to teach us about the way that we view the Bible. And often, we just sort of let the collect slide by without really thinking what it has to say to us. And in truth, the collects are rich sources of teaching. And today we have a collect that deals with Holy Scripture. And we hear that it is God who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written, which is a paraphrase on St. Paul, who says that all Scripture is inspired by God, literally God breathed. Or to put it another way, Scripture is God speaking. And of course, he used human agents. The Bible is 100% the work of human beings, and it is 100% the work of God. And the name that we give the Bible, the Word of God, is also the name of a person. Jesus is the Word of God. And the Bible, just like Jesus, has two natures, one human and one divine. Now, for some people, the Bible is a sort of reference book. It's a written record of God's words, and they might study the text for hours and underline and memorize. And yet, there's a temptation to forget that God has not only spoken, past tense, but God continues to speak, present tense, through the Scripture. And the whole point of the Bible is to teach us how to enter into relationship with God in Christ. And memorizing and underlining is of no avail if we don't meet the risen Lord as we read it. The wrong way to read the Bible is to look at it. The right way to read the Bible is to read it as if we were looking through it, a written icon in which we see Christ. And just to pick up on that image of an icon, the Gospels are the image of Christ in that picture. And the books of the Old Testament are the background leading up to the figure and pointing toward it. And the epistles are like the dress and decoration of the figure, explaining and describing it. And then as we read the Scripture, as we study the icon as a whole, the miracle happens. And the figure of Christ comes to life and steps down from the canvas of the written word. Now, in practical terms, that means that you and I ought to be reading some scripture every day so that we have that encounter with Jesus. Advent's coming up, and if you're not in the habit of reading the Bible regularly, perhaps Advent might be a good time to start, because it's possible to know the living Christ without being grounded, rooted in the Scripture. And as you read the Scripture, we need to be always asking ourselves three questions. What does the passage say? Secondly, what does it mean? What did it mean to the person who wrote it, to the persons who first read it? And thirdly, how does it apply to me, to my family, to my work, to the society in which I live? And it's when we see the relevance of the sacred writing to our own life, the reading of it becomes exciting and we become conscious that we're hearing God's voice. Now that collect goes on to read, "Grant that we might hear the scriptures, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them." Now notice that it is the we who read the scriptures. And who is the we but the church? One of the Protestant reformers said that any 9-year-old servant girl could interpret the Bible. And that's perfectly true in the sense that she could plunge in and come out with some sort of interpretation. But someone else could also plunge in and come out with a different interpretation. You know, we're observing, mourning, the 30th anniversary of the Jonestown Massacre. Jim Jones read and interpreted his Bible. Tony Alamo reads and interprets his Bible. But interpreting the Bible in that way is like setting a sheet of music on 40 music stands with everyone playing different notes. And so this private interpretation automatically turns every reader into his own pope, with his own little Vatican inside his head, where he can frame his own faith, choose a la carte his own personal beliefs, which differ perhaps violently from those of his neighbor. Now, thankfully, we as Catholic Christians don't hold to that method of interpretation. St. Peter, in one of his letters, says that no one can interpret any prophecy of Scripture by himself. The Bible is the church's book. And the church, and by that I mean the one holy Catholic and apostolic church at all times and all places, reserves to herself the right to interpret Scripture properly. You know, the Bible did not fall out of heaven, bound in fine Morocco leather on onion-skin paper written in first in King James English. No, when the church had already existed for over 100 years, various gospels and epistles were floating around in different sections of the Christian world, ones that you're familiar with, along with ones you probably never heard of, like the Gospel of Bartholomew or the Epistle of Clement. And it was the church which examined those documents one by one, accepted this one, rejected that one, and that's how we have the New Testament. The Bible is the church's book. So when the collect tells us to hear, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest Scripture, we do so along with the mind of the church in all times and in all places. Now, when you read your scriptures, you might find a sound orthodox commentary to read along with your Bible. You might read some of the meditations of the church fathers on Scripture. Always, 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 you want to measure your private interpretation against the creeds of the church. And for goodness sake, stay away from TV preachers. Now, what is the point of all this Bible reading? And the collect answers that question as well. By reading and understanding Scripture, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. The reason that we read our Bibles is to journey to an inner country which we call hope. Not hope in the modern sense of, oh, I wish it were so, but hope in the biblical sense of trust in God and God's promises to us. Hope is one of the most precious metals in the world, along with faith and charity. And without hope, the soul dies. Human relationships falter. Societies decay. Hope means living in a universe with height. Hope means taking our nose off the grindstone and lifting our eyes to heaven. And when we read the scriptures, we begin to walk the highway of hope with Jesus into that country of everlasting life. where with the Father and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.